This evening we are looking at Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 23 and 24, which you can find on page 969 in the back of your Psalter hymnals. Question and answer 23 and 24, page 969. I'll read each of these questions and we can respond together with the answer. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. I invite you to take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, as we look at Christ as our prophet, making God's word known to us. We're looking at John chapter 1, where the word became flesh. And then we're also going to look at a few verses in 1 John chapter 2. Before we turn our attention to God's word this evening, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word, we ask that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Now we turn over to 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 26. "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in the Old Testament, there were three major offices among God's people. You had the office of prophet like Nathan. You had the office of priest like Aaron or Eli. And you had the office of the king, like King David. And these three offices were distinct. They each had their distinct job to do. The prophet spoke God's word to his people. The priests received the people's offerings and offered sacrifices and prayers. And the kings ruled over the people as God's representative. Now these three offices, prophet, priest, and king, foreshadowed or pointed forward to Christ, who fulfilled all of these prophets, all of these offices. Christ fulfills these three offices in the following way. As a prophet, which we're going to look at tonight, he fully reveals God's word to us. He is God revealed to us. He speaks God's word to us. As a priest, he offers a sacrifice to God on our behalf and is himself the sacrifice that's offered. And as king, Christ rules over the church, over the entire universe as well. And so we have Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Just as a side note, we see these three offices in Christ expressed in the offices in our church. Minister of the Word, deacons, elders, reflecting the three offices of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Actually, when it comes down to it, as Christians, as believers in Christ, Christians, little Christs, we reflect these offices as well in a much lesser way as we reflect Christ. Now this evening we're looking at Christ as our Redeemer and how as our Redeemer he fulfills the office of prophet. And the way that he fulfills this office, how is Christ a prophet? Well, as a prophet, Christ reveals the will of God to us for our salvation by his word and spirit. I put question and answer 24 in my own words because I could not say executive. So Christ reveals God's will to us for our salvation by his word and spirit. That's what Christ is doing as a prophet. And we see that being reflected in both John, which is describing Christ, the word made flesh, the one who is making the Father known. And then we see in 1 John chapter 2 how we are anointed in Christ to proclaim Christ, to profess his name. So because Christ as a prophet makes the Father, makes his will known to us, we by faith confess Christ's name. We are members of Christ. His anointing is our anointing and we confess his name to the world. So how is Christ a prophet? Well, first of all, he's a prophet because he reveals the will of God to us. Second, by his word and spirit. And third, for our salvation. And so first, Christ reveals the will of God to us. In the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets spoke God's word to his people. So Moses was the first major prophet. And he wrote the first five books of the Bible. And after Moses, there were many other prophets who spoke and wrote God's word. But Moses predicted that another prophet would someday come. A prophet that would be a lot like him, Moses. Here's what we see in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore lest I die. So you can think about even at Mount Sinai, don't let the Lord speak to us. We need someone to speak God's word to us or we'll die. And so at that point you have God getting his word to his people through a prophet like Moses. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So there we have a prophet isn't coming spouting his own thoughts, ideas, and opinions. His job is to speak the words that God has given him to speak to God's people. And here we have Moses and the Lord saying, someday another prophet is going to come, just like you, Moses, who's going to be a prophet to my people. We get to the New Testament, we get to the Gospels, and everyone is expecting this prophet like Moses who is going to come. And so, for example, after Jesus had done the miracle of multiplying the loaves and the fish, the people explained, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. That's John 6, verse 14. Peter also identified Christ as the prophet predicted by Moses. Here's a fulfillment to what Moses was talking about. Moses said, the Lord God will raise, this is in Acts, this is Peter talking in Acts. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel to those who came after him also proclaimed these days. That's Acts 3. So here we have Jesus as this prophet that was predicted by Moses. And as we move through the New Testament, something important to notice is that as we go through the epistles and the letters, they don't refer to Jesus as a prophet. Hebrews 1, for example. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So after Hebrews is talking about the greatness of the Son in chapters 1 and in chapter 2, Hebrews could have concluded by saying, and Jesus is the greatest prophet of all. But instead he says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And here's the point. All the other prophets were foreshadowing and pointing to Christ. He is far greater than any of the Old Testament prophets. He is the one that all the prophets who brought God's word to the people ultimately were foreshadowing and pointing to. Now, God's word has taken on flesh and has become incarnate and been brought to God's people. So the New Testament letters don't even refer to Christ as a prophet or even the greatest prophet, because he was the one all the other prophets were talking about. He has come. The Word of God in the flesh, like we see here in John chapter 1. Now Jesus is our Redeemer. And as the chief prophet, as the prophet all the other prophets were pointing to, he is the one that reveals God's will. And Jesus makes known to us God's will through his teaching. They were out the road to Emmaus. You have these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus took them through the entire Old Testament, showing them how all of the prophecies pointed to him, beginning with Moses and the prophets. He interpreted them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Luke 24, and he told these disciples that they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, showing that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory. So all the Old Testament prophets are looking forward to, pointing to Christ, and are fulfilled in Christ. Just like all the New Testament apostles are referring back and looking back to Christ. Jesus reveals, makes known God's will through his teaching. But he also reveals God to us through his life. Jesus wasn't just a messenger revealing God's word like all of the other prophets. He's not just bringing the word of God. He is the word of God. The word became flesh in Christ. He himself was the source of revelation from God. He himself is God. In the flesh, the word made flesh. So instead of saying, like the prophets would say, thus saith the Lord, Jesus could say things like, well, I tell you, but I say to you. Or we saw it this morning in Mark. Instead of saying, well, let's follow God's word, let's follow the Torah, let's follow the Lord, Jesus can say, follow me. Because I am the Lord. I am God. I am the Word. The Word of the Lord came to the Old Testament prophets, but Jesus was the Word of God. And so when he speaks, he's speaking by his own authority as the eternal Word of God who perfectly reveals the Father to us. Look at verse 18. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. So it's Christ who is revealing and making God known to us. And as he lived his life on earth, Jesus is the example for us of what God wants, of how God wants us to will, how he wants us to live, what God's will looks like. God's will for his children is that we be and live just like Christ. When we look at Jesus' life, we can see exactly God's will for us. Jesus shows us what we are to be like, but he also shows us what God is like. He's the one who made God known. John 15, verse 50, all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so Jesus is revealing in his office of prophet, Jesus is making known God's will so that his people, so that we could be saved. His will of our salvation. God had chosen a certain number of people to eternal life. And then he sent his son, the perfect prophet, to make it possible for those that he had chosen to have everlasting life. That's why in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father, my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, how could you have seen the Father? Because you saw Christ. And so that's how Jesus, as a prophet, reveals the will of God to us. And he does this by, secondly, his word and spirit. That's our second point this evening, word and spirit. Christ is anointed as a prophet. Now, in the Old Testament, people were anointed with oil for a particular office. If you were being called to the office of a prophet or even priest and king, you were anointed with oil, and that symbolized or pointed forward to Christ as the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. And so this oil of anointing pointed to a spiritual reality of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was never anointed with oil, signifying the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And so in Christ's anointing, it's not just with oil signifying the anointing with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, the anointing that all the other anointings were pointing to. And so now Christ, as the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, has the Holy Spirit coming down on him. And it's not that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, as if the Spirit was the one pouring on the oil, but rather he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, filled, the Holy Spirit went into him, as we saw in Mark during Christ's baptism. So that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, 40 days tempted by the devil, and then returned to Galilee with the power of the Spirit. And that's when he went on to Nazareth and read from the prophet Isaiah, which was ultimately a prophecy about himself. What did Isaiah say about Christ? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. So the Sovereign Lord has anointed this individual to preach good news to the poor, to be a prophet, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness from the prisoners. So here you have Isaiah, a prophet, years and years before Christ, who is revealing the secret will of God, and he made this prophecy about the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord reigning on this individual, the Lord's anointed, who is going to preach the good news, proclaiming freedom for captives, release from the darkness, and years later, Jesus comes, and that's the scroll that he picks up. Luke 4 verse 18, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Now think about this. We just went from him being baptized, Spirit descending on to him as a dove, filling him, going out into the wilderness, being tempted, and now here he is at the temple, or is it the tabernacle? Synagogue. Okay, there you go, it's a synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord forever. Jesus rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, sat down, because that's how rabbis taught. They sat while they taught. And then in front of everyone, everyone's looking at him, and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So here you have a prophet pointing forward to Christ, the ultimate prophet, who's going to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel. And as Jesus is reading this prophecy, he is fulfilling it. He's not just bringing God's word. He is God's word. He is the word become flesh and dwelt among us. Now, Jesus is no longer here on earth. So when we're talking about, well, Jesus was the perfect example for us to follow. If we're wondering what the Lord's will is, well, just be like Jesus. Watch what he's doing and do what he does and say what he says. But Jesus is no longer here. So we can no longer watch what he does and see how we should live, or even see what God is like. Does that mean, boys and girls, that Jesus is no longer a prophet because he's not here anymore? The answer is no. Not at all. Jesus still reveals the will of God to us. How does he do it? Through his word and Spirit. So Jesus reveals the word of God to us by his word. The apostles, the disciples had been with Jesus, learning from him, memorizing what he had said, and passing on that message just as they had heard it. Now we receive not a spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. 1 Corinthians 2. That we might understand the things freely given us by God, and we may impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Jesus reveals the will of God to us by his Spirit. John 15, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And so Jesus sent them the Holy Spirit to help, the Holy Spirit who would help them better understand the things that Jesus had taught them. And God used the apostles to write down the entire New Testament so those of us who came way later would have God's word and know his will. And this is how Jesus is still a prophet to us today. He speaks to us from his word. And the reason we can understand what he's saying to us is because he's given us his Spirit. That's why we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand what God is speaking to us through his word. Sin has darkened our hearts so that we don't understand what God's word says. But Jesus made sure that we would understand what God tells us by sending his Spirit to live inside of each believer. And so the Holy Spirit makes us able to understand what God says to us in the Bible by his word and Spirit. The same Spirit who inspired the apostles to write down God's word is the Spirit who helps you as a believer understand God's word and what it's telling you about salvation. Jesus is a prophet because he reveals God's will to us by his word and Spirit. And third and finally, as we wrap up this evening, it is for our salvation. That's the ultimate goal. What is amazing is that we as Christians, even now, begin to imitate Christ, not only in the office of prophet, but in all three offices in a much lesser way. But we have a prophetic role as we, who believe God's word, are now proclaiming and sharing God's word, sharing the gospel with the world. Thereby bringing God's saving word to people. In fact, whenever we speak truthfully about God to believers or to unbelievers, we are fulfilling our prophetic calling, if you would like to call it that. And just like Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit, in a similar way, we share in that anointed because we are anointed to profess Christ's name. We are anointed through our union with Christ. His anointing is our anointing. We are part of his body. And the result is that we prophesy, we testify, we proclaim the gospel, we confess the name of Jesus Christ. The passage I read earlier from 1 John is the only place where anointing is in reference to you as a believer. All the other references to anointing is always to Christ as the Messiah. But here we have this anointing that you received from Christ abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. John's addressing all of the false teachers that are there. He's writing so that they don't deceive you. You know what? You don't need those false teachers, but because you have Christ's word and his Spirit, his anointing is within you to teach you about everything, just as it has taught you. What's that? Abide in him. So here you have our connection with Christ as prophet, and we are called to profess his name. Just like Jesus telling his disciples in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now you have us being told to do the same, to go, to teach, to profess his name. Not only us personally professing Christ, that we believe in Jesus Christ, but going out and sharing our faith, witnessing, testifying his name everywhere. This is what we are called, and this is what we are anointed to do as we abide in Christ. That's your calling as a prophet, your prophetic calling. Why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. I am anointed to confess his name. And how do we confess the name of Jesus Christ? How do we fulfill this calling? Here's what John Calvin says. We see that Christ was anointed by the Spirit to be a herald, and a witness of the Father's grace. And he received anointing, not only for himself, that he might carry out the office of teaching. So he's filled with the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of his ministry, but for his whole body, that the power of the Spirit might be present in the preaching of the gospel. So this is the evangelistic role of the Christian life, proclaiming and living in a way that we show that we are thankful to God for all that he has done for us in Christ, so that our neighbors may be won over to Christ, so that his name is always honored in what we think, say, and do. Christ makes known God's will to us, his will to save us, his will of salvation. And that is what we are sharing, the message of salvation, as we profess Christ's name. Our entire life needs to be devoted to our role as prophets of Jesus Christ, devoted to confessing his name, abiding in him, proclaiming and declaring that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that we are his people, that we are Christians. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for making your word known to us, for sending prophets to proclaim your word, for sending your one and only Son, the Word made flesh, to reveal your will of salvation to us. And we thank you that now we have your word and spirit, so that we know the gospel, the salvation that is ours in Christ. Lord, help us now, in light of all that you have given to us, to share the good news of salvation found in Christ alone. Give us the words to speak your word as we share our faith. Open the doors, provide opportunities for us to spread the gospel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.